It is the decision of the Holy Spirit and of us. That's quite a claim. That's what the apostles and the presbyters said in our first reading. They wrote this letter and they said, it's the decision of the Holy Spirit and of us writing this. And we'll get to the first reading in a bit. But first of all, just how can these men in the early church claim this? That when they are speaking, it's actually God speaking. That God has said and made this decision that we're writing to you. It's quite a claim. You know, many of us know the power of receiving those promptings of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit pours the love of God into us. He prompts, he leads us. The Holy Spirit is very personal. But the Holy Spirit also gives us the church. Have you ever had someone tell you that the Holy Spirit told them something? Well, the Holy Spirit told me to do this or to say this, you know? Now, depending on your experience, you're either thinking, yeah, they're the crazy people, or you're like, that's me. He tells me to do things all the time, right? A week before my ordination, a lady gave me a message from God. It was written on a little yellow post-it note. But it really was from God. It was something that I was really worried about the week before my ordination, about my family, that this lady could have had no idea about. And I needed to hear those words. I knew that God would take care of my family. He gave me peace. He gave me just an ability to go forward in confidence and lay down my life as a priest the next week. I needed to hear the Holy Spirit speak those words to me. But on the other side, just recently in the last weeks or month or so, there's been a lady who from Nicollet, and you may have seen, actually posted things on our Facebook page, on theirs, and is someone I know, so also had been sending me messages, talked to me, and was convicted. She's this a good, good woman. She loves Jesus so deeply, but was convinced that the Holy Spirit was telling her that she needed to warn us as Catholics that we were going to hell because we had statues of Mary and other things in our church. Because the church basically was evil, the Catholic Church. And she quoted the Bible at length in those messages. So how do we know who has the Holy Spirit? Was it me or was it her? I can quote the Bible too, right? So the Holy Spirit is very personal, but the Holy Spirit also gives us a church. Me and Jesus Christianity is dangerous, actually. Jesus is personal, but without the church, I lose the protection that the Holy Spirit gives me in the church. Now, this is not just about church teaching being right or wrong, black and white. Jesus in the gospel today, he says, whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and we will make our dwelling with him. This is the Christian message, right? The Father will love you, and we will come to you and dwell with you. We'll be in you, and we'll bring you to heaven. That's Christianity. It's about loving Jesus, he says. Whoever loves me, that Jesus is a real person that I love. And Jesus said things, and what Jesus said matters. And because I love him, I need to take those things he said to heart. If I don't take him to heart, Jesus says, whoever does not love me does not keep my word. I don't take those things to heart when I don't love. I have to first love him. He says, but if you love me, then you will keep my word. The apostles, there's nothing written down yet at this point. They were hearing Jesus say this, and you will keep what I'm telling you. You'll keep my word. And then comes the Holy Spirit. And then I will send the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you this now while I'm with you. But after I leave, the Father will send the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, to you. And he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I told you. He will lead you into all truth. We need to love Jesus, first and foremost. We need to follow his word, which is the things he spoke. It's written in the Bible. It's the Gospels, what he said. How well do you know his word? This woman knew his word powerfully. To love Jesus, to listen to his word, but then we also need the Holy Spirit. Now we can go back to the first reading. So those words the apostles said. What's going on in the 15th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles? It's a very powerful time. This problem happened, came up. They were in the town of Antioch. And it was in that town for the first time, Barnabas and Paul are preaching, and lots of non-Jewish people started to become Christian. There'd been one or two before, but they were coming in masses now. They weren't, before this was always Jewish people who knew the Old Testament, waited for the Messiah, but now it's other people of the world. They have never been circumcised and they never had the law of God, the law of Moses. A new thing started happening. Someone came from Judea, one of the leaders, one of the preachers, and said these words. They said, unless these people get circumcised and follow the law of Moses, they cannot be saved. Those are powerful words. We're not just talking about a little disagreement in the church. I mean, they said, put it in other words, like, if they don't do this, they're going to go to hell. That's essentially what he's saying. You ever had anybody tell you that? Right? So it was a real division that came into the church. And here's the thing, Jesus never said anything about this. They didn't have instructions from Jesus telling them what to do with the Gentiles when they converted. Do they need to be circumcised or not? Do they have to follow the law of Moses or not? So they didn't know. How do you figure this out? How do you know? So what do? They get together, all of the apostles and the presbyters, and they have a discussion. Because they believe that they have the Holy Spirit. They believe, they know that God has sent the Holy Spirit down on them. At Pentecost, he sent the Holy Spirit on the church. And the Holy Spirit was doing amazing things. They were speaking in tongues. They were going out and healing people. But they also knew that he would lead them into truth. He would let them know what was the right way to Jesus. And so they got together and they had a council. It was the first council of the church. If you've ever heard of the Second Vatican Council, we're still doing the same thing that they did in Acts chapter 15. The apostles, Peter, Paul, Barnabas, those, and the presbyters, that's all the elders, it's also the word for priests of the church, got together and they talked about it. Now, it's important to say that this is not just like this top-down thing. Peter didn't just stand up and say, this is what the teaching is, and if you don't believe it, you're going to hell. Peter didn't do that, okay? It's not like a cold, calculated, it's not just like the Pope can stand up in Rome and say whatever he wants, and that's the teaching, and if we don't believe it, we're going to hell. That's not what they're doing. They have to listen. They have to get together and talk and pray and listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And that's what they do. They said, I had no little discussion about the topic. But then at the end, a conviction came into them. And they made a decision that they said was not just a human decision, a human teaching. It is the decision of the Holy Spirit and of us. They were convicted that, no, from the beginning, us and these Gentiles, we are saved through the grace of Jesus Christ and what he did for us. We weren't saved through circumcision and the old covenant. And so this is what's required. So they do not need to get circumcised and no longer need to obey the Old Testament law. It is the decision of the Holy Spirit in us. They wrote a letter. They sent everybody out to all the towns and circled this letter, this encyclical, to the whole church. And that's powerful. Because what that means is that from that moment on, anyone who went around teaching and saying, hey, you need to get circumcised and obey the law of Moses to be saved, to be a Christian, that person did not have the Holy Spirit. They were not teaching with the truth of God. Because God had spoken through the apostles and the presbyters. And that's so helpful to us. Because all of us are trying to figure out what God wants us to do. All of us are praying and saying, Lord, what's right? What's wrong? How do you want to lead me? The church's job is to point us to Jesus. With love of Jesus, listening to his word, you have to know his word, you have to know what Jesus said, really take it to heart, and then guided by the Holy Spirit. The church, if you've ever gone over a mountain pass, like I've been to the Glacier National Park, they have the Road to the Sun, it's called, right? It's a pretty scary drive at times. They got the guardrails, and there's dents in the guardrails. Like, somebody hit that at one time, right? The guardrails kept them on the Road to the Sun, right? That's what the church is doing. She's putting the guardrails on the road to the sun. to say, if you fall off this rail, you're no longer on the road, all right? That's the church's job. That woman who came to me and we talked and, you know, it was such a painful thing because she's a very dear woman to me. And I want you to get this, like the discussion, this wasn't just about teachings, like these were very personal, very hard discussions, difficult things. It affected real people's lives. It was causing real division. This woman who loves Jesus and I who love Jesus so much, I was so sad that we couldn't come together and love one another, that we were so divided because this woman, when she was saying these things, did not have the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Even though she was quoting the Bible, loves Jesus, listens to his word, yet without the teaching of the Holy Spirit, she did not realize and know that what the apostles and presbyters decided is the decision of the Holy Spirit and of us. That we know Jesus gave us the Mass and the Eucharist and the saints, and that the statues that we have, they're a sign of us here, that this is the heavenly Jerusalem that we are in. And they are here with us at this very moment. We don't worship idols. We believe in the church. You know, sometimes we can see the church almost like the evil empire or something. But in the book of Revelations, the vision that John has is something so beautiful. I saw the heavenly Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, brilliant, glorious and radiant, shining with God's life. Earlier than that, I said, as beautiful as a bride prepared to meet her bridegroom, the bride prepared to meet Jesus and to be with him. My brothers and sisters, this is the church that comes down from God and is given to us. That's the Holy Spirit giving us this gift of the church. Every semester I do an interview at Gustavus. And it's a social justice class by one of the professors. And they interview different ministers, people in town. And they always pick, every minister is supposed to pick one social justice issue. And I had a different couple things. I said, but probably the strongest one in my heart is the pro-life thing. So she said, okay, why don't you talk about that? And you're going to quote the Bible of how that Bible inspires you in this social justice issue. And so I would do that with them. And it was a real eye-opener to some of the students. I would quote from The Visitation, when Mary visits Elizabeth and their babies leap in their wombs, right? And I said, see, Jesus was maybe a few weeks old in the womb of Mary at this point. But it's a human life. Therefore, we believe in life. And they kind of ask, well, what about different interpretations? I said, well, here's the thing. As Catholics, we believe in the teaching of the church. So any interpretation of that, what happened at the visitation that would allow abortion, would not be in line with the Catholic Church and is not the teaching of the Holy Spirit. There is an official way to interpret the Bible and to know what God teaches us. You know, there are Christians in the world from 60,000 different Christian denominations, and every one of them will take the Bible and quote it for us. Now, they have the Holy Spirit, but when they go off the guardrails, this woman loves Jesus and has the Holy Spirit, but she didn't have the guardrails to keep her on the road. The Holy Spirit is not just a feeling. Jesus says in the gospel powerfully, my peace I give you, peace I leave you. The Holy Spirit so often gives us a sense of peace, right? But he says, but I don't give it to you as the world gives it to you. There is a peace that the world also gives that is actually not Jesus. And don't let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Making decisions in fear and out of troubleness is not always God speaking. To listen to the Holy Spirit, the church gives us at least those basic guardrails so that I know if I'm feeling prompted by a feeling or anything to do something that goes against the teaching of the church, against going away from God or leading me into sin, then I know that that voice is not God, is not the Holy Spirit speaking to me. Now, within those guardrails is great freedom. Because like I said, that week before the ordination, I needed to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speak to me. We need, as disciples of Jesus, to be praying and asking the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do today? The church isn't going to tell you what you need to do today, okay? As disciples, if we're not praying and asking that question, then we're not being disciples of Jesus. That's how we guide our lives, is by listening to the Holy Spirit speak to us. We need that. I wouldn't be a priest if I wasn't able to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to me, right? I want you to do this today. I want you to date this person. I want you to change your life in this way. To ask the Holy Spirit those things. And we believe that he is speaking to you and can guide you. But the church gives us those most basic guardrails to give us that confidence in him. The Holy Spirit is very personal, but he's also given us the church. It is the decision of the Holy Spirit and of us to love Jesus, to listen to his word, and to receive the Holy Spirit.